listeners supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, October 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher Gwyneth Cheesh. Hawa, Tuxk Newsom, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, we talk with author Bridie Thielen-Heidel about her memoir, Bright Eyes, Surviving Our Monsters and Learning to Live Without Them. She'll be appearing tonight at the Valley Library and tomorrow at Hearthside downtown. It's almost Halloween, and CBJ Parks and Rec shares some events for you this weekend at Treadwell Arena and Diamond Park Fieldhouse. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. We'll talk with REACH-supported employment folks about their programs in service of job support. And we'll meet some Rotary Exchange students living here in Juneau for this year from Brazil, Argentina, and the Czech Republic. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak, gunish cheesh.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Bridie Thielen-Heidel, as a child, lived out the road in a silver school bus, which she thought was magic, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She lived above the Red Dog Saloon and also in the infamous Pink House. It sounds idyllic, but Bridie was also living with darkness and trauma. In her just-published memoir, Bright Eyes, Surviving Our Monsters and Learning to Live Without Them, Bridie details her long journey and eventual departure from a codependent relationship with her alcoholic, abusive mother, who was addicted to dangerous men. From Juneau to Lake Tahoe to a joyous finale on stage with Duran Duran, Bridie's memoir is personal and inspiring. She'll be making two appearances here in Juneau, tonight at the Mendenhall Valley Library, and tomorrow at Hearthside Books downtown, which is also serving as a fundraiser for AWARE here in Juneau. Bridie, Gwyneth Cheesh, Ha'i Gudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio. Wasi'iti, how's it going? Welcome back to Juneau.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be home. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful time to see you and have you come back to Juneau. I asked you right before we went on air, when was the last time you were here? And you said it was about 15 years ago.
About 15 years ago. So I'm happy to bring Bright Eyes home.
You're going to be at Mendenhall Library tonight at 5:30. It'll be in the Valley Large Meeting Room. And then tomorrow night, you'll be at the Hearthside Books downtown in the Wharf at 5:30 to 8:30. And that's serving as a fundraiser for AWARE, which is a wonderful organization here in Juneau that helps with domestic abuse and violence and things like that. You can go to awareak.org for more information on that particular organization. They've been on the show many times. We love having AWARE here to share their story as well. So your story is interesting because it is connected here to Juneau. I mentioned a few different places you lived. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your beginnings and what your relationship is with Juneau.
So my family is longtime Alaskans. They homesteaded here up in Kenai in the 40s. And so I was born in Seattle but raised here much of my early life and bounced back and forth, leaving anytime my mom met another man and made a bad decision. So, but Juneau's a hometown and two hometowns for me. The other one is Lake Tahoe. So I know these streets well, have lots of memories here. Excellent, wonderful, loving memories for sure.
Yeah, and you describe, I mean, it's interesting, the beginning of the book, you describe sort of living out the road in this, you lived in the Pink House, mm-hmm. and then you went out the road, and you lived in a bus, right?
Yeah. A silver school bus before it was cool, yeah.
Before it was cool. Yeah. And then you came back to Juneau in the early 80s, right? This was in the mid-70s, you lived there in those places. In the early 80s, you came back.
Yeah, we came back, and in the book I try to describe why we came back, and I don't really know each time why we made the move, but typically they were attached to kind of running from something else, someone else. And so we left often in the middle of the night. We left early morning. I didn't usually get to say goodbye to friends. But typically, because my mom's family was here, we would come back here when all hell was breaking loose.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And so this book sort of chronicles the relationship with your mother and your eventual departure from her. Yes?
Yeah, this is a story about growing up with her and just through the child's perspective. So it's told in present tense. And it's really an observation of what it's like to live with someone who's narcissistic and abusive and you don't realize it. And so it's just through kind of watching her and then realizing that the people we were with were bad. And as I realized how dangerous they were, I started realizing how dangerous she was too.
Mm.
And so that perspective, you know, as it changed, as I got older and started seeing who I was really dealing with and had a, you know, I had been raising both of us and then was raising a little sister as well. And, you know, that's a lot to take on as a kid.
Yeah. And sometimes as a kid, you don't recognize right away the situation, right, in terms of what you're in. Because for you, as a young child, it's just that's the reality. That is what you think the world is. When did you start to have realization that maybe something was going on?
It was really TV shows. You know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s when probably most of us were being babysat by sitcoms and after-school specials. And you start realizing that the world on TV is different and you don't realize it's fake. You just realize there's a normal life somewhere, and it is not like the one that I have. So I very much coveted television shows and imagined one day that I would live on the set of Happy Days or something like that.
Right.
that was possible.
Right. And yeah. So how long did it take for you to break away from your mother and that relationship?
It took me until I was 31, but I think like a lot of people who are in these situations, these relationships, a lot of false starts. You know, I tried to leave many times, but I had little sisters who needed to be protected, and I really did believe that I could fix it. And so it took until I was 31 till I had my own child, and I realized at her first birthday that if I didn't leave, my daughter was going to be subjected to the same kind of cycle of at least witnessing the abuse. She wasn't going to be abused, but she was going to watch the pattern continue with my mom. And I thought, you know, if I couldn't do it for myself, I can do it for her.
Yeah.
It's been 22 years.
22 years since you did that.
Mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, and that is part of it, right? Is sort of that breaking away. And what gave you, what finally like allowed you to do that? Was it you said it was the birth of your daughter, but did that give you the strength to make it happen?
Well, I think it was also resentment a little bit that I had lost. I had two dads growing up and one of my dads died around that same time. And he was such a wonderful, really wonderful person. And I thought, well, how unfair that he dies and she lives.
Mm.
And I think at that point I just got so angry. You know, and so it's not easy, you know, it's not easy to break those ties and walk away. I was recently looking up and on TikTok, there were something like 71 million views of adult children going no contact with their parents right now.
Mm.
And a lot of people my age in their early 50s. And I think that it really took making hard choices and grieving her. And as I describe in the book, I basically had to bury her alive and convince myself that she was gone.
Wow.
To walk away. And but you know, I don't regret a minute of it, and I don't miss her. It's big, but it's necessary. And I think that if that's something people can get from this book is permission to put yourself or put your family first. I think it's really important to do.
Well, and I know you're an English teacher and you had talked about sort of writing yourself out of this trauma, right? Mm-hmm. So when did the process of writing the book begin? Or were you writing things down at that age too? And you just, it took 20 years to write the book, right? In essence, it took that long. But did you start thinking about how you were going to heal yourself once you had broken away from your mother?
I do think that little kids, we start writing in diaries to try to make sense of things. And you write in those diaries that you can lock because there's stories that you can't tell.
Mm.
And maybe even stories that you can't tell yourself. And so I started writing these stories down a long, long time ago. And realizing in my 30s, you know, there's something CPTSD that's pretty kind of popular right now, and it's complex post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's when you have trauma in your bones. And there's a pretty popular book, What My Bones Know, What My Bones Know, and the body keeps score. And I realized I was sick, and I was a very healthy person, but I was sick, and an acupuncturist said, you know, you might have some trauma stored. And I thought, oh, geez, yes, I do.
How did you know?
Yeah. And so I delivered a TED Talk last year about this healing process. And it was really kind of an exorcism of sorts because I just brought up all these stories. I wrote them down. I wrote them over and over and over to delete the file on my computer, to print them and burn them in my wood stove quite dramatically. But as I got these stories up and out of my body, I healed. And I healed physically, and I've healed emotionally. And so it is something, as a high school English teacher, I definitely, we write a lot. And I think that whether you show it to anybody or not, showing it to yourself is very important.
Yeah, and it must be interesting, the element of having this book come out. And I know you've said you've gotten some really great responses. It came out on September 24th. Mm-hmm. But to be returning to Juneau, to people that know you, that have history of this, who probably knew your mother, it's just the strength of that, to be able to do that is amazing, to be able to share the story. Is it difficult to share the story?
I have been on a book tour for the last few weeks. So, yeah, there's a difference here. You know, I was in L.A., and then I was in Portland and Santa Monica and Seattle. All very special places with memories that are in the book, but Juneau is the place. Juneau is the place, and it is more vulnerable to be here, but I also feel like I owe it to the little girl in this book to be here with her and to just show her that we could come home and it's all okay, and we're healed and we're successful and we made it out, and we can come back and kind of reclaim this place as mine, you know, and not the monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I do want to mention something that I think is really interesting. It's hard not to get choked up, right? No. But you talk about in the epilogue, right? And you talk about how you start the epilogue off by saying, you know, that there's been a lot of these sorts of stories, right, that you might have read your share of abusive alcoholic mother, codependent daughter memoirs, and always find yourself wondering WTF, you know, like, why don't you leave sooner, which is a question I think a lot of people have. But then everybody's story is so different and so independent from everyone else's. But what I really wanted to point out was that in this end, you know, you talk about, you know, how the leaving was hard, but then no one asked me to come home. Mm-hmm. No one called to apologize. No one admitted there might be a reason I left. No one wondered what I was thinking, because they all knew. That hits hard. Mm-hmm. That hits hard to know that. And so I sort of wonder, like, it must mean, like you said, you have no regrets, right? That you don't miss her, that you don't miss those other people that might have been associated with her, the dangerous men that you talk of. And so to just sort of, you and there is a happy ending, which is what I'm trying to get to here, is that you have found, by doing this process and sharing this story, your happy ending. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because you do talk about it in the book. So can you tell us sort of what happens to you, or what finally got you to the point of this moment that we know we want to share in terms of the music?
Ah, yeah. So around 12 or 13 years old here in Juneau, I was watching MTV one night, and it was only a couple years old at that point, and Duran Duran came on. And this was kind of at the height of my understanding about what my mom was going through and her alcoholism and abuse. And there was a little trauma bonding that happened with that band, as I found out 30 years later, and did some research about why I kind of connected to the band that night, you know, so fervently. And so the years went on, and as we would move, like I said, in the middle of the night, sometimes I could really only grab a couple things, and I always grab my records and stuffed them between two pillows and put them in a black trash bag and took them to the next place. And so that music became a constant for me. And that music taught me emotional intelligence that I couldn't learn at my house, you know, because when you grow up like that, your emotions are so connected to the parent. And if she was happy, I could be happy. And if she was sad, I could be sad. But otherwise, I didn't have my own emotions. So connecting to their music was big. And it also let me be my age. I could be 12 or 13 and be silly and not have to be a grown up. And so there was a lot of joy connected with that. And so fast forward to my 20s when I moved to California as an adult and I could afford tickets and go to concerts, I started going and kind of making up for this lost childhood. And like I said, I teach high school and I had watched a documentary called My Date with Drew. It came out about 2006. And this kid, Brian Herzlinger, he gives himself 30 days to meet Drew Barrymore. And my students, we were watching it as a goal-setting exercise. And my students said, you should do that with Duran Duran. You should meet them. And you should meet them to say thank you. And so it took about 15 years. It took a failed opportunity on the Ellen DeGeneres show even. I was very publicly humiliated because I didn't get to meet them when I thought I was going to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but luckily I didn't get to meet them because then as the universe aligned a couple years later, my community rallied around it, and Duran Duran was going to have a show in Tahoe. And so the newspaper did a story about this 15-year journey to meet them, and so many people sent Duran Duran the story that they finally acquiesced and said, hey, we'll meet you now.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, and so once we were backstage, the lead singer was like, there's thousands of people out there, and we think that they want to see you on stage with me. And I said, well, you don't do that. And they said, we're doing it tonight. And so I came off stage, and one of my best friends was in the audience, and she said, you know that book you're thinking about writing? This would make a great ending.
Mm.
And the very next day, I started writing Bright Eyes.
Wow.
So that was 5 years ago, almost to the day that the book published.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the band I was telling you before, the band is getting the book this week.
That's so excellent.
Yeah, they're going to get to read kind of the impact. And I feel like it's not just my story. There's a lot of people out there that are very thankful of this band and other bands that kind of help you and are the soundtrack of your life. And I think it's important for bands to know that it's not just, it runs quite a bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. And I do want to mention that you are going to be talking more about the book tonight at the Valley Mendenhall Valley Library from 5:30 to 7. And then tomorrow night, you will be at Hearthside downtown in the Wharf, and that will be a fundraiser for AWARE. You can find out more about AWARE at awareak.org. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening tomorrow night?
Yeah, I made a commitment when the book was coming out to connect myself more with domestic violence kind of advocates and child abuse advocates, to just open myself up to those stories and those experiences that I had as a kid. And so I've been partnering with a group in my own community in Lake Tahoe, and I wanted to make sure I connected here in Juneau. And so it is a fundraiser for the work that AWARE does, and I'm very happy to do what I can, maybe to help them and give them the kids' perspective of, you know, what happens in a domestic violence kind of situation and what the kids see and how responsible the kids feel, and, you know, that that burden that you're putting on your kids to rescue you and to help you, you know. And so I think anything we can do for kids to really tell them that they can rewrite their own stories and they can rewrite the stories they've been written into. They don't have to grow up and be abused or be abusers. And I certainly have broken the cycle with my child. And I hope, you know, because you've heard that before, that if you're abused, there's a great kind of, I don't know, belief that you're inevitably going to be an abuser or be more prone to it. And I feel like that education needs to be out there, that it is not true. And you can parent differently. And you can have a different outcome. So a happy ending.
I love that. Well, thank you, Bridie, for sharing your story in this book and with us today on the air. Can we find out your website? Where can people find out more about you?
Sure. It's at BridieThielenHeidel.com. And I'm on Instagram as Bright Eyes Author and on Facebook as Bright Eyes Author as well.
Excellent. That is so good. Well, thank you so much for being here, Gwyneth Cheech. We're going to go out with a little bit of happiness. We're going to play the song that you were on stage with Duran Duran not too long ago, 5 years ago or so. And this is The Reflex from Duran Duran. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's almost Halloween, and CBJ Parks and Rec has a few events this weekend to get you in the mood, along with so many other things. Joining me now is Lauren Varelli, Gwyneth Cheech, Ha Yi Gudi. Thank you, Lauren, for being here and telling us all about the things that are happening for the creepy crawly time. So let's dive right in and tell us what's coming up.
Yes, thank you for having me. We have a lot going on. So starting tomorrow, Friday, October 25th, we have a Halloween skate at Turtle Arena. This is a free skate, and it's from 7 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And we definitely encourage people to come dressed in costumes because we have a costume contest.
Ooh, fun.
Yes, we have some prizes. I think it's broken up by age groups and stuff. So
nice.
Definitely come in a costume and then skate around. First come, first serve when it comes to skates, but those are included in the free skate.
Awesome. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yes. Also tomorrow night, we have our regular family fun night happening at the Field House.
Okay.
That is also free. So that's for the littles, you know, the little kids like under five. But if they have older siblings, they are more than welcome to join. That is from 5 to 6:30. That is in partnership with AEYC. So if you can skate or you can go run around to the Field House tomorrow night for free.
I guess you could do both.
You could technically.
Because one's from 5 to 6:30 and the other's from 7 to 8:30,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah,
you could, if you really wanted to make a night of it.
Yeah, and then your kids will crash. Right
and then they will definitely crash. And, I mean, it could be fun to have the kids in costume even at the Diamond Field House.
Oh, that
right?
would be
so that would be adorable.
Amazing.
Adorable. So, but I love the free skate. Free
yes.
skate is awesome.
Yes.
Okay, what else is going on?
We have, so on Saturday the 26th, we have events happening at the Dime Park Aquatic Center. First off is our floating pumpkin patch, which has been a dream of mine for years, and I'm so excited it's finally happening.
Awesome.
Yes. So
tell me what that is.
So it was registration opened up last week, and we did fill up. But we're going to have two sessions where we're going to have pumpkins floating in the pool, and then the registered participants can go and pick out their pumpkin and swim around and then go decorate it in the lobby. So it is going to be a fun I'm just so excited. I've been wanting to do this since before the pandemic.
I love that. What a great idea.
Yeah. So very excited about that. And then tomorrow night, we have our dive-in movie at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, and we are showing The Nightmare Before Christmas.
When is that?
Tomorrow night.
Oh, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
On Friday.
No, sorry. Saturday. I apologize.
Right. Because you usually hear in on Friday.
Yes.
So on Saturday night, the 26th, you're showing The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that is sponsored by Glacier Pediatrics. So the locker room doors open at 6 o'clock. And then showtime is 6:15. And we have room for up to 100 swimmers.
Yeah.
Regular admission applies to the pool, but if you have a pass or a punch pass, that will get you in for the movie.
I love that. It's so fun. Like, it's just so funny. I love it. A pumpkin patch and then The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, and we'll have activities happening in the lobby, like, all day, so it's just going to be a festive day at the pool tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess when Halloween's, like, in the middle of the week, like it is next week, everything always happens the weekend before.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun. All, like, the Halloween parties and Halloween Halloween events like this and things like that. But it's really great. It's really great.
Yes. Yeah. So lots of Halloween fun happening. We also happening on Friday, October 25th, is our next round of Parent and Tot and Little Swimmers registration.
Okay.
So if you got some littles that need to get signed up for that, registration opens up at noon tomorrow. And you can just go to the Juneau Parks Recreation website, and it's right there on the happenings on how to get registered.
Is there any age limit on that in terms of, like, the tots?
Yeah, the parent and tots is from 6 months until, I think it's about 2 or 2.5 years.
Okay.
And little swimmers is 3 to 5.
I see. So there's two different categories.
Age. Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. And you can find out all that information on the website, right?
Yeah, and these sessions are going to be at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center.
Okay.
Both of these. And it runs November through mid-December.
Oh, great.
So
it is that time to get inside, right?
Yes. And then lastly, everyone's favorite pass is our Winter Pass is going to be happening again this year. So that starts November 1st through registration. You can sign up for it November 1st, and it gives you 5 months of unlimited use to all our facilities for $200 plus tax.
It goes through the end of March or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So
I remember
5 months.
You've been doing that for the last few years.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the first year that all of our facilities are open. There's no closures because of the pandemic.
Everybody's back. Yeah.
The AGB is open, so we're very excited.
That's so cool. The Winter Pass is happening.
Yes.
All right, so let's recap real quick. Tomorrow night, we've got the Treadwell Arena Halloween Skate. Right?
Yes.
Sponsored by Juneau Pediatric Dentistry.
Yes.
And that's from 7 to 8:30. And that you come in costume, you can win prizes. Mm-hmm. And that's at Treadwell Arena. And then also at the Field House tomorrow is the regular sort of family fun night, right?
Yep.
Which is great. And then Saturday is the Pumpkin Patch Pool.
Floating
event. Is there a name for what's the official name?
We're calling it the Floating Pumpkin Patch.
Floating Pumpkin Patch. That's just amazing. I love that. And then that night, they're showing The Nightmare Before Christmas. And of course, Little Tots and Parent, Little Swimmers and Parent Tots Swimming is happening as well. You can find it, all of this information and get registered and everything at juneau.org/parks-recreation. You can also just search Juneau Parks and Recreation. They'll have a Facebook page. They have all those social medias. And you can find all those links to sign up. I really appreciate it, Lauren, coming in and telling us about this Halloween madness.
Yes,
that's going to be happening. Thank you, of course. It's so good. And in the spirit of Halloween, let's listen to a little of Sounds Wild with this week's episode about garden spiders.
Oh, I love it.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. A beautiful yellow orb spider hangs head down in a platter-sized web fastened to a backyard playhouse in Anchorage. The playhouse belongs to a girl who appreciates this backyard insect predator. The girl and her mom have been watching this spider catch and eat bugs all summer long. This is a giant spider by Alaska standards, a member of the family Araneidae, brightly colored garden spiders that are considered beneficial because they eat garden pests. Orb spiders go back to the time of dinosaurs. As flowering plants evolved and flourished during the Cretaceous period, their insect pollinators thrived along with them, spreading across the planet. Orb spiders also flourished thanks to their amazing silk, a strong elastic protein they spin into nets capable of sustaining the impact of flying prey. The orb web is a frame of tough anchor lines overlaid with a sticky capture spiral, and the silks of orb weaver spiders have exceptional mechanical properties. And one strategy that helps, orbicularian spiders tend to eat their web every day, re-spinning a fresh orb that's strong, sticky, and clean. Garden spiders generally live just one season, laying eggs in the fall, ensuring that a new generation of spiderlings will hatch and disperse in the spring. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
This is Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Reach provides services to individuals of all ages who experience intellectual and developmental disabilities and empowers them to live self-directed and integrated lives in our community. And one of Reach's programs is its Supported Employment Program. It's also a nice time to highlight this because October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. And now I am joined by Ryan Hellman, Supported Employment Specialist, and Mariana Sacido, Staff Manager from REACH, to share more with us. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. How's it going?
Going very well. Thanks for having us.
Great.
Awesome. Really nice to meet both of you. It's a pleasure. So tell me a little bit about your roles at REACH before we get into what the program actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. So my role as an employment specialist is to, I do job development in the community. I help people with disabilities find and maintain meaningful work. And then I also help out with the process of creating task lists and things like that to make their jobs more efficient.
I love that. And Mariana, you're the staff manager. What does
that
mean?
Yes, I'm the support employment manager.
Okay.
So I'm the supervisor of all the job coaches. I have I do the recruiting, the hiring, the supervising, and creating skills.
You run the whole place, basically.
No.
She does. She's being modest. She does run the whole place.
Absolutely. No, it sounds like you have one of those jobs that might be number nine other duties as assigned as well.
Yes.
Is that true? Absolutely. All right. So I know REACH covers a lot. They do many different things in many different areas. But today we're talking specifically about the supported employment program, right? So is that what it's called, the supported employment? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
So what is that? What is that program?
Yeah, absolutely. So that program specifically helps people with disabilities, again, find jobs in the community and then maintain those jobs. So it covers everything, like Mariana said, from providing job coaches to individuals to working on job development, which would be finding people jobs throughout the community, and just helping through that whole process.
So if someone is in the REACH system, they are able to get access to, like you say, like job coach. So you talk with them and try to figure out, like, what is it they would want to do, and then try to find a place for them to work at. Is that kind of what I'm getting? And you have partners in the community that offer jobs in that space, I'm sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. That's said perfectly. So I'll do something called discovery when I sit down with individuals, which is exactly what you just said, talking through, what jobs they might like and things that might be best for them. And then I'll go out into the community and I'll either search for new positions or I'll work with, companies that we're already working with to see if they have other positions available. And see what might be a good fit for that particular individual. And then there's a period of time where they can try that job out, make sure that it's going to work well. And I'll let Mariana talk a little bit more about the job coaching side of things.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so our job coaches are people that help assist with people with disabilities. So they come in and they provide services, training with them, helping them do their task, type of things, and just day-to-day type of like clocking in at work, things like that.
So like assisting them
in
sort of like how they go about, because I'm sure that when you first get a job, mm-hmm. I think this is for everyone. When you first get a job, there's that period of, now what do I do? Like, how do I get there? Where do I clock in? What do I do? Where's mm-hmm. my first check-in? What's my daily mm-hmm. thing that I'm going to be working on? And it always is that, I've always in my jobs had that first couple weeks where I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. And so I'm imagining that the job coach sort of helps get over some of that nervousness and kind of helps them through the periods of what they're going to be doing and get them into a routine.
Yes,
yeah,
it's just like that.
I see. Okay.
We have great job coaches that help and have been there for a very long time assisting with these individuals. And a lot of these individuals have had these jobs for, 15 plus years.
Wow.
So, they've been working with these companies for a very long time with the help of a job coach.
So are you always looking for new companies that might be interested in hiring folks who are with REACH?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's something that I do quite often is go out and talk to new companies in the community and, see if there's any positions available. So, yep, that's definitely something we're always looking for new companies that are looking for people. And something that I would say, about people with disabilities is sometimes there's that stigma still about, hiring them and having them as part of your company. And that's something that I try and work through because, statistically speaking, people with disabilities are usually more reliable employees. They show up on time. They don't quit as often. Their productivity rate is really high. So you really end up with a high-quality employee.
Absolutely. That sounds so cool. And if somebody hasn't experienced Reach, let's say maybe they're new to Juno or something, how do people get in touch about the services that are available through this particular program or really any program at Reach, I suppose? But how do people get in touch?
They can go to our website. They can contact Reach. Any type of, you can contact the Supported Employment and get a hold of Laurel, who is their director. And we can connect you with some services.
Okay. And the website is?
www.reachinc.com.
Okay. Nice.
And we do have a Facebook page as well. So you can find us on Facebook. A lot of great information there, too.
So if you just Google it, I'm sure you can Google Reach
Juno. Absolutely. Yeah. It'll come right up.
Yes. Yeah. All the different programs that are available. Because this is just one thing. And is Reach doing any? I know I mentioned that it's National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which is a great reason to talk about the program that you have at Reach. But are there other things that you want to say about that particular awareness month? Anything that we want to share with the audience?
I touched on what I wanted to share, which was just once again trying to get rid of that stigma of hiring people with disabilities and just letting the community know that they are great employees. Their productivity is high, they're reliable. When you choose to hire somebody with a disability, you're really getting a great quality employee.
That's awesome. And if people want to be job coaches or work in this particular arena, is it you, Mariana, who they would contact?
Yes. You could go on the Reach website and look up careers, and we're hiring right now for job coaches.
You go. That's it. So there are people out there who might need a job, and this is a great job. It sounds like a really fun job to be able sort of help integrate folks into a work arrangement, and then does the jobs coach sort of stick with that person over the course of time?
So, one of the big things with Reach is we're always trying to promote independence. So that's a great question. So something that I'll do as the employment specialist is I'll write objectives that we would like to see individuals try and achieve. And those objectives are always trying to move towards being independent in the workplace. So ultimately what a job coach is going to do is they're going to come in, they're going to work with these individuals, and they're going to try to get them to a point where they're fully independent in the workplace, and then we can pull those job coaches back.
I love that.
Yes,
that's really cool.
That's a teammate to them, pretty much. They both work together and they figure out how to do this job accurately, and it's, the job coaches are great to just be with some of these individuals and work through all these problems together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you can find out more at reachak.org/supported-employment for this particular program. And you can also just look at all the other things that Reach offers in this space. It's really wonderful organization here in Juneau. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Ryan, Mariana, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about this program and all those details. Reach out. There's jobs available. There's businesses who might want to hire folks. And then there's folks who might want to be part of the service that you're offering. So that's really great. We're covering all those bases. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Gunnath Cheesh, I really appreciate it. Okay, up next, we'll meet this year's Rotary Exchange students and learn about their time in Juneau so far. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk U Bill Fawcett. The word this week is siu.
Siu.
That means rain. And here's a sentence.
Siu. Kunaktak wasitan.
It's really raining. Let's hear it again.
Siu.
Rain. Gunnish Cheesh to Khune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o Ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Idi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juno's Rotary Clubs are currently hosting 4 high school exchange students who are living abroad for a year. One of them arrived in January and has been here, and the other have just been here for a few weeks since August, and they will all return home at the end of next summer, whereas Maria will be leaving us at the end of December. Gunath Cheesh, Haye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio today. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Thank you for having us.
Of course, it's so good. So, Maria, let me start with you. Actually, let's go down the line. We'll start with Maria. Can you introduce yourself and tell us where you are from?
Hi, my name is Maria, and I'm from Brazil.
Okay.
My name is Bia. I'm from Brazil, too.
Okay.
I'm David, and I'm from Czech Republic.
Okay.
I am Lorenzo Scarsini Feijo, and I am from Argentina.
Argentina. Okay. So we have, great. This is awesome. So we'll get to you three who just got here and are probably like, what is this Juno place that I'm living in and the experience of that so far? And you're probably learning a lot from who we're going to talk to first, which is Maria. So, Maria, you're from Brazil.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with Rotary and end up here in Juno?
I'm an Interact member. And, I mean, they just offered me this great opportunity, and I'm here.
Okay. And you've been here since January. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing since you've been here.
I've been skiing, ice skating, a lot of fun stuff.
Okay. And so you've been going to you're at the high school, right?
Yeah.
Are you in your senior year now?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior.
Yeah.
So when you came last year, you were a sophomore?
Yeah.
Oh, so you spent the last half of your sophomore year and then the first part of your junior year here in Juno.
Yeah, I was a TM before.
Okay, you were at Thunder Mountain, and now you're getting two different whole experiences, really, right? Because you got the Thunder Mountain experience, and now you're getting the Juno Douglas Yada'akathle experience, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
I see. Okay. And so do you have responsibilities as part of being an exchange student? What do you have to do? You have to go to the monthly meetings, I'm sure, or the weekly meetings.
Weekly.
Yeah.
Can I tell them the 5 Ds? So we have 5 Ds, don't drive, don't drink, don't use drugs, don't date, and don't do dumb things.
Wow. Have you been sticking to those rules?
Oh, yeah.
If you weren't, you probably wouldn't tell me, I would assume.
If I weren't, I won't be here.
You wouldn't be here. Has it been a joyful experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been able to make memories that you might be able to share with folks back home?
Oh, yeah. I'll share a lot of great memories.
Yeah.
My English is getting better.
Your English is getting better. Okay, that's one thing for sure. And you said you were skiing. Are you part of the athletic teams at the high school, or have you just been doing that out on your own?
I'm playing volleyball.
Okay, you're playing volleyball.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that something you were doing back home as well?
Just when I was little.
Okay.
In high school.
Do you think you might continue when you get back now
that
you experienced it
again?
I like
it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm now I might be a volleyball player.
Yeah, sure.
Why not? And how different is the environment in terms of like the land from Brazil for you? Like, and Brazil's huge, so
yeah. It is like 180, like the opposite. Definitely. It is hot every day, like of the year. We don't have snow. We're mostly flat, but we have some mountains.
Now, I know in Brazil, and maybe Bia might be able to tell me this too, but I know because Juneau and the area we live in is a rainforest.
Yeah.
And I know that Brazil is a rainforest, but obviously, like you said, much hotter down there. So and that must change the rain is like a warmer rain, I would assume, whereas here it's like that bone cold rain. So was that kind of a shock to you when you got here? Because you got here in January, the darkest time of the year. Snow and dark. And you're like, wait, what did I decide to do?
Yeah.
But then summer came and it was a lot better, I bet.
So technically, we're tropical. We're in tropical weather. Rainforest is more north. I mean, like, Cerrado will be our weather and climate.
I see, okay.
Which is more, less rain and more sun, dry.
Yeah. Because, like I said, Brazil's a huge place. So I know exactly which region you're from. Mm-hmm. So, but that sounds so wonderful. And Bia, where are you from in Brazil?
We are both from São Paulo, from the state, not the city.
Okay, from the state of Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
Okay. And so your experience so far, you got here, when did you get here, August?
Yeah. No, September 13.
Oh, so you've been here like about a month.
Yeah.
What's it like for you so far?
It's crazy. it's sometimes it's hard, like the language and the weather, so I'm sick. So,
you got sick a little bit?
Yeah, but it's been really nice, like it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it been nice to have someone like Maria here who's been here who can sort of share kind of the experience?
Yeah, and it's good that we both speak Portuguese.
Oh, nice.
So it's, sometimes it's good to speak Portuguese.
So you can, like at school, do you have any of the same classes together?
No.
Oh, because are you a junior then?
Yeah.
So you're in your junior year, and you're in your junior year, but you don't have any classes together.
No.
Oh, because I was going to be, you could do that fun thing where you talk about people, and they don't know that you're actually talking about them.
No, just at lunch.
Just at lunch. Yeah, of course. That sounds pretty good. And so what are you hoping when you sign up for Rotary Youth Exchange? Are you part of the Rotary down in Sao Paulo then?
No.
So they reached out to you. Or you found out about the program and said, hey, I want to go to Alaska for a year?
Yeah, I found the program, but I didn't expect Alaska.
Okay, so you apply and you don't necessarily know where you're going to go.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay, and then they offer it and they say, hey, do you want to go to Juneau, Alaska?
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. And so do you have any sort of goals or plans that you hope to experience while you are here?
Do whatever I can, like a lot of things, and see snow. I get to see snow for the first time and practice my English and like do a lot of stuff that I can do in Brazil.
I see.
Live a lot of new experiences.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have any thoughts on what you might be studying when you apply to college or after you graduate from high school?
No, I like history, but I don't think it's a good degree. For life.
You're like, what am I going to do with history? You can be a teacher.
But I don't want to be a teacher.
You're like, I don't like kids.
Yeah. I like kids, but I don't like to teach.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's good. And so, David, let's talk to you a little bit. So you're from the Czech Republic.
That's right.
And when did you arrive in June?
I arrived around like mid-August. So it was nice days. It was like all day sunny and I like it.
Okay, nice. So, and now it's starting to get colder and rainier.
Yeah.
What's it like for you? Because I know a little bit about the weather in Brazil, but I don't know as much in the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, it's like all the seasons. So we have winter kind of cold, summer it's very hot. It's like 86 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's different for me, but I couldn't complain much because these guys have it way worse than me, I guess.
And how did you find the Rotary program?
I found out about Rotary in my school. Our director was familiar with Rotary program and she has some contacts, so she sent us email and I looked at it and I was like, that's the challenge I want.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So you thought, and then when they said Alaska, what did you know anything about Alaska before
yeah,
they mentioned it?
Yeah, I mean, I knew just the stuff like it's about the gold and oil, and it was owned by Russia, and that's all I know, and it's like end of the world. That's what I think about it, like the first time I heard about Alaska.
Ah.
And my parents were like afraid to send me here, but I was talking with them for a while about it, so I made a decision so that I don't want to change the state at all.
Yeah. And there is no end of the world, hopefully. let's pray.
I was talking about the place.
Like
Alaska is the end of the world, not like the it's coming soon.
I see. Okay.
That is what I meant, yeah.
I misheard you, I'm sorry. That's so fun. And so do you have any, when you decide to come, did you have any sort of goals or ideas of what you would want to experience while you were here?
I live in like present, so I don't have like much goals. I just want to enjoy this year and see new stuff.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Meet new friends,
new people, new experience, and all that stuff. Yeah.
I feel like the folks who come from Rotary, I know that when I've gone to a Rotary meeting and they've had people who have been exchange students come back or, you know, Zoom in or something and say hi, and that they're years later and they're in college and they're doing their thing. So it's kind of fun to be able to create those lifelong relationships and experience a new place and then take that back home, right?
Maybe be more independent. That's maybe the goal, I would say, it's mine. Yeah,
okay. And do you have any thoughts on what you might study when you get to college or after high school?
Our high schools are already focused most of the time. We have like gymnasiums also, but most of the high schools at Czech Republic are already focused. So I was at economics high school, so I want to continue when I came back. I will come back.
So each high school has a focus.
Focus, yeah.
Okay, so like your focus at your high school is economics, and there might be like an arts high school or something like that?
Yeah, it might be something like that, engineering and all that stuff, yeah.
I see, okay. All right, well, it's so nice to meet the three of you so far. And then Lorenzo, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, and you?
I'm awesome.
I'm doing very well here.
And you're from Argentina?
Yes, okay. I'm from Argentina.
Ah, and so how did you find out about the Rotary program? And you're representing today on your jacket, which I love.
Yes, thank you. Basically, my sister, she went on an exchange to Germany in 2019, and she said it's one of the best experience. And I say, okay, well, and I just sing that me.
Oh, okay. Awesome. That's so great. And when you found out that it would be Juneau, Alaska, what was your first thought?
No, in Argentina it's different than in other countries. We have basically to choose three countries. And I choose in first place Canada, second place United States, and third place Switzerland. I was going to Canada, but I had a little problem there, and Alaska sent me an email, and they say, welcome to Alaska, and I say, oh, it's a awesome part of United States, I want
to
go.
Okay, so we don't have to get into it, but I'm just curious, is the problem you had in Canada anything to do with the 5 Ds that Maria mentioned?
No, anything like that.
Okay,
I'm
just
like
kidding,
that.
I'm just yeah, totally, yeah, yeah, I'm teasing yeah. you, of course. But it's really nice to have you here, and so do you have any thoughts on what it is you're hoping to experience while you're here in Juneau? Did you do some research before you came up?
I was thinking really in eat a lot of type of meats, different type of meats like bear, moose, and all of these stuffs.
Oh.
And I am doing well, really. I tried a lot of type of new foods.
Oh, that's so
good. Different than Argentina.
Well, I mean, you have to, one of the things that you really want to figure out how to enjoy while you're here is seafood. Obviously, the salmon, the halibut, the crab. Somebody's pointing at somebody. Maria?
I'm not a big fan.
You're not a big fan of the seafood?
Yeah.
What have you tried it all?
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you a secret, Maria? I'm not either. I do like halibut. I do like halibut, but the rest of it is, so yeah, we have
not
that
even
in
salmon.
Common. I do like some salmon. It depends on how it's prepared. But I'm so excited for you all to be here and to experience Alaska. Lorenzo, last question for you. Do you have any idea of what you're going to be doing after high school?
Oh, I really like international relations. I want to study this in the university in Argentina.
Well, then, I mean, obviously being part of Rotary Exchange is a wonderful thing, right?
Yes, I really like diplomatics.
I love
I
that.
I like a lot, yes.
That's so great. Maria, David, Lorenzo, and Bia, thank you so much, Gwyneth Cheese, for coming in and sharing a little bit about us. I know you're going to get a tour of the studio here after we're done. And yes, Maria.
Can I answer that question too?
Yes.
Okay. I want to do biomedicine and neuroscience.
Oh, biomedicine and neuroscience. Okay, I'm sorry. I did want to know that. I just didn't realize I hadn't asked you. So that's so good. So you can be a Rotary Exchange student. I was just handed a card by going to rye5010.org. If you know someone who wants to be an exchange student or be part of that program, that is the place to go.
We recommend it for sure, all of us.
Yes, really? Absolutely.
Yes, it's a wonderful experience.
Gwyneth Cheese to you all. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from DJ Thompson. Gwyneth Cheese, and have a joyous evening.